This is the Fearless Presentations Podcast, the fastest, easiest way to reduce public speaking fear.
Want to absolutely eliminate public speaking fear? This podcast is the answer. Here's the guy who literally wrote the book on Fearless Presentations, Doug Stannert.
Hello and welcome to the Fearless Presentations Podcast, brought to you by the Leaders Institute and fearlesspresentations.com. I'm your host, Doug Stannert, president of the Leaders Institute, and this is the podcast that helps people just like you get rid of public speaking fear and increase your success by increasing your confidence when you communicate. On this episode, I'm going to share with you the real secret sauce for designing really good content in your speeches and presentations. And by the way, this technique will also help you add some humor into your content as well, which is kind of nice. It makes sure to hang on, by the way, until about the 25th minute of the podcast, because I give a warning about what a lot of speakers do that really causes this technique to backfire on them. So you don't want to miss that part. The podcast is brought to you by fearlesspresentations.com, and we've got a lot of news to share with you about Fearless Presentations. Since I started the podcast about a year or so ago, we have consistently sold out pretty much all the seats in class after class after class that we're doing in cities all over the United States, Canada, Europe. So we just added a number of additional classes in a lot of those cities that we're already teaching. And we've also added classes to a number of additional cities that weren't on our schedule prior to a week or so ago. So the new cities that we just added to the schedule are, we added Austin, Baltimore, Boston, New Orleans, Orlando, San Antonio, Seattle, and Tampa, and I may have missed one or two. So if you have looked at our website in the past and we're looking for a class in your area, didn't see one coming up, then make sure and look at fearlesspresentations.com and check out the new schedule, because we've got a ton of new classes coming up. Now, the Fearless Presentations public speaking class is the absolute fastest, easiest way to eliminate public speaking fear. And the main reason why the class is so successful is that, unlike most other public speaking programs that are out there that just help people mask symptoms of public speaking fear, this class actually helps people eliminate the root cause of those symptoms. It helps them eliminate the fear itself. I'm teaching a class this week on Thursday and Friday in Chicago, and I believe that there's actually still two seats left in that class. So if you want to meet me, make sure and register for that class quickly. It's likely to fill up in the next 24 to 48 hours. The Miami class and Minneapolis classes that were both on the schedule last week, they're now closed. So if you are interested in attending either of those classes, you'll have to call our 800 number to get on the waiting list. But we'll have another class there in a couple of months, so you can always sign up for the next class that's coming up in those cities. So the Denver class, Phoenix, Charlotte, San Francisco, Houston, those are next on the schedule. They're coming up in the next 30 days or so. So go to fearlesspresentations.com to register for a class, because once the class fills up, you really just have to wait for the next one. So it could be a while before you can actually get into one of the future classes. So on this session of the Fearless Presentations podcast, I'm going to share with you really that special sauce for your presentation. A lot of times folks will come up to me at a public speaking class, or maybe I've just given a keynote, or sometimes they're calling us on our 800 number, and they say, "Hey, what is the real secret to being a great presenter? To what is that special thing that the really good presenters, the good speakers have, the ones that can command that really high dollar amount on their keynote speeches and that kind of thing? What is it that makes them different?" Well, that's what we're going to cover on this particular episode of Fearless Presentations. It's going to be that real secret sauce, and I can tell you in a quick little sentence, it's metaphors, similes, analogies, basically the comparisons that you use in your presentation. Now, I like to think of myself as a pretty good speaker and a pretty decent writer as well. But I got to tell you, I always hated the English. I just hated English class, and just in general. In high school, college level, I wasn't real crazy about it. It just seemed like a lot of rules. And I always thought that the way that we spoke wasn't necessarily the way that we write. And that is somewhat true. But the thing that always confused me was that there was always like 2 weeks on metaphors, analogies, and similes. And I never could tell the stupid things apart. So I'm going to cover just in the first few minutes here, I'm going to cover what these parts of speech are, what these things are and how they work, and then also how you can really effectively sprinkle them into your presentation and use them as a way to become a much more competent, much more comfortable speaker and really add some humor to your presentations a lot of times, that kind of thing as well. To me, the three parts of speech were just so similar that I really didn't see a whole lot of difference in them. And by the way, I still don't. I mean, I still interchange my terms with them, and I'm probably using the terms incorrectly. I don't care. It doesn't really matter what you call these things. It just matters that you use them because these often confused parts of speech are really that special sauce that makes the great presentation burger that you're, if you will. So if you use these things just right, by the way, when you add these items into your presentation, it's kind of like, I mean, a good example is it's kind of like a woman going to a formal ball. And she's got the perfect dress, and she wants that nice piece of jewelry that really accents it. And that's really what these parts of speech actually do to your presentation as well. So it'll take that pretty good speech and make it into an exceptional speech. So let's kick it off though by talking about each one of these and what is the technical kind of definition of these things. So I'll start with similes. Simile is, according to Webster's Dictionary, a simile is a figure of speech comparing two unlike things, and it's often introduced by like or as. You know, so basically you're saying that something is like something else, or it's as something else. And I'll give you some examples here, and I'm going to give you some examples of the same three items, the three descriptive items anyway. One is a simile, one is a metaphor, and one is as an analogy, just so you can kind of see the difference here. So if I were going to give a simile about a woman's stare, you know, her stare was as cold as ice. So you see it's got the words as in there, so you can tell that's a simile. When he's angry, he's as fierce as a tiger. Or that department is like a teenager doing chores, right? So it's basically we're saying that something is like. It's not that the guy's temper isn't a tiger. It's as fierce as a tiger. The department isn't a bunch of teenagers doing chores. They're like the way that their behavior is like a teenager doing chores. So a metaphor is very similar to a simile. It's a figure of speech in which the word or phrase is literally denoting one kind of object or the idea anyway, is used in place of another to suggest a likeness between them. So again, that's the legal definition of it. I'll give you some examples though, just to kind of explain it. So whereas I said the simile was her stare was as cold as ice, a metaphoric version of that might be her icy stare said it all. Right, so we're actually saying that her stare was icy, even though it really wasn't. We're using it as a descriptive. We're making that comparison. So the simile that we use was when he's angry anyway, he's as fierce as a tiger. So the metaphor example of that would be he's a tiger. He is a tiger when he's angry. That makes sense. So basically, we're saying that he is that thing. We said before, and the simile was that the department is like a teenager doing chores. We could rephrase that and say their teenager work ethic rarely accomplishes anything. So basically, they're very similar. They're very close. It's just that they're used a little bit differently. Now, an analogy is a comparison of two otherwise unlike things based on a resemblance of a single particular aspect. So with an analogy, you know, one aspect of the two items is being compared. But there's often a logical inference that the other aspects are also similar. So analogies tend to be more complicated than similes or metaphors. But here are the examples that we used before, but this time as an analogy. So when I say something inappropriate, my wife is like a submarine. Her eyes shoot out a sonar like a signal, and it bounces off my hard head. And then later, I can expect a torpedo to come through, right? So it's a little bit more complicated than her icy stare or her stare was as cold as ice, you know. So it's basically, it's almost like it's a little kind of mini story. That's what the analogies can really did, are really good at anyway. So the second example that we use is he's kind of like a volcano. Most of the time he's calm and mild mannered anyway. But when he gets angry, he erupts. Right, so we're comparing that guy, that his anger anyway, to an erupting volcano. So we're comparing those one little aspect. The department's work ethic is like a teenager cleaning the garage. You know, things get moved around a lot, but nothing ever gets accomplished. So basically, you can kind of see that these things are really similar. And just between you and I don't really care what you call them. The key is to be able to use some of these in a way to make your presentations, your speeches much more interesting and much more entertaining. And it doesn't matter which ones you actually use, although we'll kind of show you in this podcast how certain of these items can be used in certain areas and are often better in others. And I'll kind of go through that as we move along here. So a good analogy often starts with a simple simile or sometimes even a metaphor, by the way. And the fact that it does will allow you to kind of use a simile in a title a lot of times or in a bullet point in your presentation. And then you can use humor to really develop that analogy as content for that bullet point or content for that title. And that's where these things really come alive. So we're going to cover 5 ways to actually use either similes, metaphors, analogies, any of these things to add flavor to your presentation, to really jazz up the presentation quite a bit. The first thing that you can use these ideas for anyway is as attention-getting titles or attention-getting bullets. We're also going to cover a way to kind of add humor to drive presentations. It's a good way to do that as well. We're going to show you how you can use a single comparison that's developed all the way through the presentation. And that's kind of a cool way to use these things. And then also you can use them as use the metaphors or analogies along with other evidence to really clarify the content. Now, if you stick around toward the end, up toward that part of the podcast anyway, I think you'll get some really good value out of that because I put a cautionary note in there. And I kind of explain in that bullet point number 4 the way that if you do this improperly, you can have these things really fall flat. And I'll show you the biggest cautionary thing to look for. And then finally, the last thing we're going to cover is how to really make technical content more easily understood. And that's really kind of where you're going to get your biggest bang for the buck. So if you have to give boring presentation, if you give presentations on what other people might consider to be boring content, or if you have to give kind of dry presentations or very technical presentations, and you sometimes see people's kind of eyes glass over during a presentation, then this content that we're talking about here will be fantastic for you. So make sure and pay attention to the whole podcast in order to get the most value out of it. So let's start with the very first one, attention getting titles and bullet points. Now you can often use similes and metaphors to make your presentation titles and bullet points much more interesting. And just kind of on a whim, as I was jotting my ideas down for this podcast, I looked up the best-selling nonfiction books of all time. Basically what happened was Time Magazine or Time pulled up a webpage from Time that had at least the books that had sold the most copies over the last few decades anyway. And interestingly enough, three of the top 5 books based on sales use this technique in their technique. In fact, the number 2 book on the entire list, there's like 100 books on the list, the number 2 is the second best-selling book in the last few decades, nonfiction-wise anyway, it was called In Cold Blood. It was by Truman Capote. Truman Capote, In Cold Blood. Now, obviously, the criminal who the book is about he's got the same temperature blood as the rest of us do, right? So there was nothing, his blood is not any colder than any of ours. But that title has become, it's a metaphor that was being used to kind of create an emotional impact that really catches the attention of the reader, or of the, even the person that's kind of glancing at that title on a bookshelf or something like that. And since that book was written, that phrase has actually become a part of our vernacular now. So, In Cold Blood. The number three book, so the one that was right below In Cold Blood, was actually a book by Maya Angelou. It was her autobiography, and it's called I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. So I know why the caged bird sings. Now, Angelou is creating an analogy between her tough childhood and a caged bird. And so it's a really effective use of that in the title as well there. And finally, the number four book, the one right below Maya Angelou's book, was called Fast Food Nation, The Dark Side of the All-American Meal by Eric Schlosser. And obviously the author of this book is using an alliteration for a Star Wars, for, you know, alliteration from Star Wars as a metaphor for the way that we eat in the modern era. So a lot of authors, if they really want to create a catchy title, they'll use this technique. Now, the great thing about each one of the titles that I just kind of mentioned, now, by the way, just between you and I haven't read any of those books. It's not my type of, those are not my type of books to kind of read, but you can learn something from them, because the titles that they've used, these authors have used to generate this high volume book sales, they use very few words to create an emotional impact. And in some cases, they even add a slight bit of humor to the title, like The Dark Side book, right? This leads us to another major benefit of similes, metaphors, and analogies, and that's the second thing that we're going to cover, is these things will actually add humor to drive presentations. So let's face it, I mean, most presentations delivered in the business world anyway are pretty stinking boring. And very few are laced with a lot of natural humor anyway. However, if you add an analogy or a metaphor every once in a while, you can add some real fun. You can add some humor to even the driest subject. So I'll give you a good example of how I've seen this in my career anyway. I was doing a coaching session. This was probably a decade or so ago for Capital One. I had a number of Capital One executives in this program, in this class, and one of them was a young lady who was a manager, and she was creating a presentation about how some of the departments within her company were working on a project together. However, the different departments weren't really communicating well on the how this project was kind of moving along. So the reason why they weren't communicating very well, by the way, was that none of the departments or none of the department heads were actually in charge of the project. The project was just kind of thrown on multiple departments, and each one of them were responsible for making sure that this project was complete, but nobody really had the authority in it. Nobody was really in control. So miscommunication was occurring. The departments, by the way, were communicating very well with each other, the people within their own department that were working on that project, but the different groups of people working on the project weren't really communicating together. So they weren't really communicating outside of the department very well. So what the lady that was in my class was, she wanted to explain this, and she used a fantastic analogy to do it. She said that this challenge that they had kind of created was kind of like when she and her boyfriend moved in together and they decided to share a single bank account for the first time. So she said that when they first started doing that when she and her boyfriend made purchases, they were each really good at keeping track of their own purchases, but they weren't really communicating with each other, right? So he knew what he had spent money out of the bank account on, and she knew what she had spent money out of the bank account on, but neither one of them were putting that in a central location. That information wasn't being gathered in a central location. And so as a result, you know, they got into financial difficulty very early on in that relationship. So, by the way that she kind of added in the a lot of humor, but it was humorous, by the way, in the class, because she really put a lot of detail in about the story and how the challenges that they came up with on that personal incident that she was explaining to us. So that made it kind of funny. But she actually, at the end of the story, she mentioned the solution that she wanted to create between the departments. And she said, basically, if you implement my solution, it'd be kind of like breaking up with a boyfriend, right? So basically, she was now showing how her solution added some humor in there. Anyway, so it was pretty funny way to make her point. And so that's one of the things that analogies, especially stories and things like that, can really add some humor into your presentation. The second thing that you can do or use these things for, use analogies, metaphors, similes for in your presentation, is you make a single comparison that's developed throughout the presentation. And that can sometimes work really well. Now, this technique can often be a little bit more complicated than just inserting a quick analogy or story or metaphor into a certain component or a certain part of your presentation, a certain bullet point, for instance. But if you pull it off, your presentation will be way more memorable. It'll be very interesting and memorable for your audience. I'll give you a good example of this. I was hired to do a keynote speech for a convention, and the theme of the convention was prepare for liftoff, right? So it was prepare for liftoff. And so as a result, I wanted to take the presentation that I was delivering and really customize it for the group. So they had asked me to deliver a keynote on goal setting and how to use goal setting to create, strategic goals anyway within the organization. And all I did was I created an analogy that compared that strategic goal setting process with a pilot that is flying across country. And the steps that I outlined in the step-by-step process to set and kind of create these goals were, the first thing was to start with training and skill development so that you're more likely to accomplish the goals. So that was kind of the step one, is to train to kind of, before you actually set your goal, make sure you have the skills to help you accomplish that goal that you're setting. The second thing was to write down a written action plan, write down your goals. The third thing was to look for those potential obstacles that are going to get in your way that may slow down your progress. And then number four was to set milestones along the way so that you know that you're kind of making your way toward that end goal. And then finally, you have to take corrective action when those challenges do pop up. So, by the way, those are fairly standard kind of action steps in goal setting. But to make it really fun, all I did was I took that analogy of flying an airplane cross country and made each one of those component parts of the process a part of the analogy as well. So after I had the outline, I used that airplane analogy as a way to kind of go through the speech. So step one was to start with training and skill development. It's going to help you, make you more likely to accomplish the goal, right? So, and I analogize that to going to flight school and going to training to actually fly. I mean, if you're not a pilot, it's going to be very difficult for you to fly an airplane across the country. And so, you have to have the correct training, the correct skill development. And that's one of the biggest things that people will kind of forget about when they're setting, big lofty goals. And then the second phase was to create a written action plan. And I analogize that to creating a flight plan, right? So if you're going to fly across country, you want to create a flight plan up front. The third thing was to look for those potential obstacles that may slow down the process. And so check the weather and make sure that you have extra fuel, because when those things pop up, those challenges pop up, you may have to fly around a storm, that kind of thing. And then the fourth one was to set milestones along the way. Well, what pilots do is when they go from one tower to the next, it's what they call flight following, I believe. So if they're flight following from one tower to the next, so they're checking their progress, they're measuring their progress, their speed, making sure that the flight plan that they have is still accurate, make sure that the weather information that they have is still accurate, that kind of thing. And then finally, the fifth one was to take corrective action along the way, especially when those challenges occur. So that's making those course corrections. The old cliche about flying is that that pilot is constantly making those course corrections, because even if you're only a centimeter off in your calculations when you start, You'll be hundreds of miles off by the time you get across country. So you have to make those course corrections and get back on track. And so all I did was just basically, as I delivered my keynote speech, I just kept developing this analogy, and it made it really fun and really interesting and made it easy for the folks who are in the audience to kind of pay attention to what I was doing. So the fourth way that you can use analogies and metaphors is you can use them with other evidence to clarify content. Now, these comparisons, the analogies, the metaphors, similes, those kind of things, they have a ton of positive effects on a presentation. So you can use these very, very effectively. There is one, though, very, very important area of caution, though. An analogy by itself is terrible evidence or proof. A lot of motivational speakers will kind of fall into this trap. In order to make their presentations more fun or make them funnier, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll just add in a bunch of analogies without adding a lot of other content. So the fourth way that you can use analogies and metaphors is with other evidence to really clarify content. Now, this is what I kind of warned you about a little earlier in the presentation. This is one of those things that you really want to pay attention to because you don't want to fall into a trap of using the analogy as the proof. So these comparisons, the analogies, metaphors, similes, those comparisons have a ton of positive effects on a presentation. There is one very, very important area of caution, though, that you have to be very careful of. An analogy by itself is a terrible piece of evidence or proof. So a lot of motivational speakers will actually fall into this trap. What they'll do is, in order to make their presentations more fun or to make them funnier, they'll add in just a bunch of analogies. I'll give you an example. I was once a speaker at a conference that hired a really, really famous motivational speaker, a really, really famous keynote speaker on the platform as well. Now, I was excited to meet this guy. I'd never met the guy before, and I had actually grown up in the industry kind of listening to his speeches and reading his books. I'm not going to say who the person is because, that's really not important to the story. And I really do respect the guy, and I don't want to kind of put out that this guy does really bad things, So that's not the point. But what I'd noticed, though, about a specific part of his speech, though, was that one of the points that he made in his speech was that that the business world was constantly changing, and in order to get ahead, you have to constantly change as well. Good bullet point, right? A good piece of evidence. But to reinforce the point, he told a story about Albert Einstein. And by the way, this is a story about Albert Einstein. You'll see this all over the place. And I don't even know if it's actually true, but you'll hear a lot of motivational speakers kind of use this as evidence or as proof. So the way that the story goes, though, is that a nervous teaching assistant approached Albert Einstein after, the physicists had, he'd mistakenly given the same final exam to two consecutive classes. And so the teaching assistant came up to him and said, "Hey, Dr. Einstein, I don't know if you realize this, but it appears as though you gave this class the exact same questions on their final that you did for the last class that you taught. Doesn't that concern you?" And Albert Einstein kind of thinks for a second, and then he responds. He says, "Yes, the questions are exactly the same. However, now the answers are different," right? So, and it's kind of a funny story. I doubt that ever actually happened, but a lot of motivational speakers will use that as a metaphor or as an analogy, and that's what this speaker was doing as well. Now, of course, when the speaker kind of told the story, it went really well. I mean, he told it very well. So the audience laughed, but once he finished that story, though, he just moved on to his next point. And I remember thinking, how in the world does a physics test, how does a physics test answers anyway in the 1950s, how does that have anything to do with how fast technology changes in the business world now? And the answer to that question is, well, nothing. It doesn't have anything at all. So basically, he was using that metaphor as proof, but he never actually proved his point. Now, all he would have really have had to do in that situation was to find a statistic or find a story about how fast the business world is really changing today. For example, I mean, it took me like 10 seconds to find this. I just kind of Googled technology changes, and what I came up with was an article by Expert, the Experts Exchange. And basically what they're saying is that the iPhone 4, which is still a few generations ago, the iPhone 4 has three times the computing power of those huge room-sized supercomputers from 30 years ago. And basically, by giving a piece of data like that, it kind of shows how fast the business world is kind of changing and stuff like that. So, I mean, there's probably, like I said, that was the first thing that I came up with just with a quick Google search. So I'm sure the other items that were on Google at the same time, I probably could have come up with 10, 15, 20 things that were actually even better than that. But if you give some facts or figures or data and then back it up with a metaphor, it tends to work a whole lot better than just using the metaphor alone. So keep in mind that analogies, when they're used with solid proof or evidence, they work really, really well. Especially they'll add some humor, make the presentation fun. But when they're used by themselves, though, they'll make your presentation kind of what I call fluffy. You know, it's I mean, a good analogy here would be like it's like feeding sugar-free Jell-O to a starving person. You know, I mean, the person is going to devour that treat. I mean, they're starving, right? The problem though is that there's no nutrition in that, and so as a result, you know, a few minutes later, that person is going to be right back in the position that he or she was. And that's what really happens when we just give metaphors or we just give analogies. We're not really giving meat to our audience. So give them the meat and then use the analogy as kind of, like I said, the secret sauce, you know, to make it taste even better, right? So the last thing that we're going to cover on this episode is how to make technical content more easily understood. And now here's a good rule. This is a really, really good rule for your presentations. The more technical your presentation is, the more analogies you're going to need. So if you have a highly technical presentation or a highly scientific presentation, you want to use a bunch of analogies. The facts, the figures, the statistics, those things are all vital to teaching your audience a technical or a complex talk. However, you need to add more showmanship. You need to make the content more interesting, and good analogies can really help in those kind of situations, those kind of presentations. So here's a technical problem that we often have when we teach people in our public speaking classes, right? So most often when folks come into one of our two-day Fearless Presentations classes, for instance, they're going to come to that class trying to eliminate a symptom of public speaking, not to actually fix the problem, which a lot of times is fear or nervousness or self-consciousness. So class members will tell us, you know, that I just speak too fast. You know, can you slow me down? Or I say too often, and it really makes me not a great speaker, that kind of thing. Well, one of the first things that we have to teach the folks when they actually come into our classes is that each one of those concepts that they're talking about, those things that they're trying to eliminate, they're just a symptom of a bigger underlying problem. And if you just treat the symptom, you're not going to really get rid of the problem. You're just going to, you're not going to fix it until you actually treat the root cause. And that's why that's the main reason why we have such a fantastic success with our Fearless Presentations classes, is that we're not just trying to treat symptoms. We're not just putting a Band-Aid over something. We're helping them fix the actual problem. So, I'll give you an example. And in fact, if you've listened to the podcast for a while, you may have heard this, but you know, we're getting new people all the time. So if you've heard this example, just kind of bear with me for another 10 seconds, 15 seconds. So I took a presentation class when I was in college, and my entire grade in that presentation class was based on three presentations that I gave over a 12-week period of time. Now I got a 94% on the first presentation. I got an A. I did pretty well. But right after I gave that presentation, the instructor, she was a teaching assistant, she pointed out that I had said seven times. So she counted my ums. Well, 3 weeks later, when I gave my second presentation, I got an 84%. The reason I got an 84% was because I said 14 times. And the third presentation I did 3 or 4 weeks later, I got a 74%. So what happened was, in those future presentations, I was spending way more time trying to focus on not saying I was trying to train myself to not give those word whiskers instead of focusing on the presentation. The first time I gave the presentation, I focused entirely on the presentation. And as a result, I got an A, right? The second time I was trying to fix symptoms and I got worse and I got worse. So that's typically what happens when folks are trying to kind of fix a symptom. Whatever you reinforce, you get more of. So if you're counting your ums or you're trying to slow down, you're typically just going to get nervous and you're going to speak much faster. You're going to say way more often. So a good analogy to describe this would be like, you know, the one I like to use anyway is that, let's say your check engine light comes on the dashboard of your car. Well, if you really, I mean, that's a symptom, by the way. That's not the actual problem. There's a symptom. And you could just crawl underneath your dashboard and there'll be a line, an electrical line that will be going to that light. And you can take your little snippers and you can snip that line and the light's going to go out. It's 100% chance that symptom will go away if you do that. However, the engine problem is still there. So eventually what's going to happen is that problem is just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's going to get more expensive and more challenging to kind of fix. And so that's why a lot of times folks will actually come to our presentation classes, because they're looking at fixing the problem, not just kind of treating symptoms. So if you see what I did there, all I did was I created a very elaborate kind of analogy for something that's a fairly technical thing to try to explain to people when they come into our classes. And it usually works pretty well. It's very easy for folks to kind of gather the gist of what we're talking about. Number one, because I used a story from my own personal experience, and then I back that story up with an analogy to really clarify. And when you use those two things together, you get a great, great, great result. So metaphors, similes, or analogies, I mean, these things are really the special sauce for your presentation masterpiece. So these little simple figures of speech can easily add some flavor to your presentation. So sprinkle in a few of these devices every now and then, and you're going to spice up that bland speech. And if you do that, by the way, your audience will always want more from you. So thanks for taking part in the Fearless Presentations podcast this week. We'll see you next week. So make sure, if you haven't already done so, make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you get every single weekly session that we put out. And then also make sure and leave us a good comment on iTunes, because that really helps other people know about about the great things that we're doing here. So we'll see you next week on the Fearless Presentations podcast.
Subscribe to this podcast for new public speaking secrets each week.